It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Thursday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this, the day before our long weekend. Just a weekend that we as Christians certainly celebrate. And it goes beyond the Easter Bunny, believe me. It goes to the very crux of what we believe. In Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, to pay the price for our wickedness. And then on Sunday, just adding into and verifying who Jesus was. He said who he said he was. He was God in the flesh. And what an incredible time. And we must never, never lose the freshness and the appreciation of this. You know, sometimes, even as Christians, as the years go by and we've been saved a number of years, we lose our appreciation, Rob, for what was accomplished on Calvary's cross.
It's just it never ceases to bring that amazement of God's power.
Yeah, and love.
And love.
God in the flesh and coming to this earth to die on the cross to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, because God, who created us, gave us a free will, knew that we could never be good enough because we serve a holy God.
Yes.
And the animal sacrifices that were initiated in the Old Testament were never going to be sufficient enough. And so the only pure Lamb of God could be Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross. First of all, to set the example during his years of ministry, which were very short, but to set the example, to do the teaching, and then the ultimate, to go to the cross. He could have called, as the song says, 10,000 angels and have been rescued from all of this. But we celebrate this weekend the greatest event in all of history.
I try to, in my life, celebrate his grace in my life every morning when I get up.
Amen.
Because without that grace, we wouldn't have no hope.
That's right.
No hope.
Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And our hope today, if you're listening this morning and you have never accepted that free gift of salvation, the free gift, we cannot work for it. Our righteousness, our good works are as filthy rags in God's sight. Never be good enough to earn your way to heaven. And yes, Jesus, without apology, we say this, Jesus is the only way of salvation.
That's right.
Who said that? Jesus himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So our hope today, folks, if you've never made that decision, you may be a conservative. You may have gone to church for many years but never have made that decision. What a wonderful time. And the Bible does say now is the day. Don't even wait for tomorrow. Now is the day to accept that free gift of salvation, to put your trust in what Jesus accomplished for us on Calvary's cross. And then to celebrate on Sunday, he is a risen Savior. He came back from the grave because he is God.
That's right.
And also to be reminded he's coming again.
That's right.
He's coming again.
We all have many friends that, quote, call themselves religious, but Christ needs to be living in your heart and in your life to know the true and just unbelievable God that we serve.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, in the meantime, while we wait for our Savior to return and to set things right someday, we have to deal with the news of the day.
Yeah, it's no fun some days either.
And it's no fun, but, you know, I celebrate each day that we serve a sovereign God.
Right.
He's still in control, but we are in a period of time in the history of mankind, as I said, when God has given man free will to make decisions. And unfortunately, the vast majority of people out there, Matthew 7, 13, and 14, they're on the wide road to destruction. So we have to deal with this. And so we get into our lead story this morning, and it's a Fox News story. Documents suggest this is the headline. Documents suggest possible coordination between CIA, FBI, Obama White House, and Dem officials early in Trump-Russia probe. All right, well, here's what's happened, folks. You know, if you've been listening over the last several months, you know that we are slowly getting messages that were texted back and forth, text messages, between two FBI agents, Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, fellow FBI agent, Lisa Page. All right? Now, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, they worked for the former director of the FBI, James Comey. Now, we know from previous text messages that have been made public, they did not like Donald Trump from the get-go. They were big Hillary Clinton fans. One of the things that we learned was Peter Strzok, James Comey put Peter Strzok in charge of the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails. And we know from the emails between Strzok and his girlfriend, Lisa Page, they really wanted Hillary Clinton to win. I mean, so that's stink number one, all right? Now, according to the latest text messages that have been released, the speculation that's been out there of collusion, you want to know, you know, the media talks about alleged collusion between Donald Trump and the Russians. You want to know what the real collusion was? What's becoming clear by the moment, the real collusion was an effort, an all-out effort to discredit candidate Donald Trump, and then after he won, to have a plan in place to continue discrediting him. So what do these new messages say? Let me just read a little bit from this Fox News story. Newly uncovered text messages between FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page suggest a possible coordination between high-ranking officials at the Obama White House, CIA, FBI, Justice Department, and former Senate Democratic leadership in the early stages of the investigation into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. So folks, are you getting this? This was a coordinated effort. What these messages appear to point to, everybody was involved. Who was the head of the Justice Department? Loretta Lynch. Remember, in the midst of the email investigation, she has a little get-together with Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill Clinton, on a tarmac. I believe it was in Phoenix or Palm Springs, wherever it was. Up on Capitol Hill, Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid. All right? So you got all the players. You got that picture. The investigators say the information provided to Fox News strongly suggests coordination between former President Barack Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, then Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid, and CIA director John Brennan, which they say could contradict the Obama administration's public stance about its hand in the process. Page, Lisa Page, texted Strzok on August 2, 2016, so a couple of months before the election. Quote, make sure you can lawfully protect what you sign, just thinking about Congress, FOIA, that's Freedom of Information requests that are made by the media. You probably know better than me. Text message from Strzok to Page on August 3rd, one day later. Describe former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe as being concerned with information control related to the initial investigation into the Trump campaign. Now remember, Andrew McCabe was let go just a few weeks ago. He's the Deputy FBI Director under James Comey. His wife was running for a state Senate seat in Virginia and received a whole pile of money through Democrat channels. So he's deeply connected to the Democratic Party, Andrew McCabe. Days later, August 8th, okay, we're moving very quickly here, Strzok texted Page, internal joint cyber CD intel piece for D. Who is D? D is Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough. Scene setter for McDonough brief Trainer, head of FBI Cyber Division, directed all cyber info be pulled. I'd let Bill and Jim hammer it out first, though it would be best for D to have it before the Wednesday White House session. You see what's going on here, folks? There are meetings going on between high-ranking FBI officials, probably all the way to James Comey, CIA, going to be meetings at the White House, all right? In the texts, these are the texts just revealed, D refers to, FBI Director James Comey, and McDonough referred to Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough. We are not making conclusions. This is a GOP person who talked to Fox News. We're not making conclusions. What we are saying is that the timeline is concerning enough to warrant the appointment of an independent investigator to look at whether or not the Obama White House was involved. An FBI spokesman did not immediately respond. Imagine that. Now, here's the other thing, and we don't have a lot of time to go into this, but part of this is that John Brennan, the CIA director at the time, in the midst of all of this going on, goes up to Capitol Hill and has a meeting with Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. Days later, Harry Reid issues a letter that happens to make it into the New York Times, basically talking about the possibility of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. I tell you what. And then we have Ron Johnson, Congressman Ron Johnson, who is with, I think, Homeland Security, did an interview with Brett Baer at Fox News, I think it was Tuesday night. He makes reference to what he called, I think, a secret society that was going on. Then he was questioned about that by reporters yesterday, and he kind of pulled that back. But that term, secret society, is also mentioned in some other documents. All right. The other development yesterday. All right, so I hope it gets complicated. You almost have to have a board up there with little markings so you and arrows connecting everybody.
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't. You know, someday somebody like John Grisham has got to write the book on this. Here's what happened yesterday. Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz was already investigating some things, announced he was expanding his investigation, announced Wednesday he will review potential Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. Remember this FISA court created in the wake of 9/11 so that there was ability by the FBI, CIA, to go out there and investigate possible terrorist activity in this country, terrorist connections. That's what it was created for. So now Michael Horowitz is announcing he is going to expand his investigation into possible abuses by both the Justice Department and the FBI following requests from Congress and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The Office of the Inspector General released a statement Wednesday, and this is what it says. The OIG will initiate a review that will examine the Justice Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation's compliance with legal requirements and with applicable DOJ and FBI policies and procedures. What's he talking about? Because we got to go to a break here. He's talking about, we've been talking about this the last month. It now looks like the FBI, CIA, they took that dossier that was a Hillary Clinton campaign document, and they took that to the FISA court to get warrants to spy on some of Donald Trump's campaign people, all right, including Carter Page, all right, no relation to Lisa Page. So you see what's going on here, folks? Listen, all of this, we can't draw the bottom line on this, but it sure points to something that really stinks in the Obama administration. All right, much more ahead. We have a special guest coming back after the break. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson here. Much more ahead, as I say, here on this Thursday edition of Sandy in the Morning.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife like me, you probably know what it feels like to live in a fishbowl. You know, that feeling like everybody is watching your every move?
The annual ASA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. The retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word and his wife Jan. Special guest speakers will include AFR morning personality J.J. Jasper and his wife Melanie. The AFA Fishbowl Retreat is set for October 9 through 11 at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. Call 800-326-4543, extension 300, for registration and information. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or visit repairingthefoundations.net. Registration is limited to the first 35 couples.
Get out of the fishbowl and into the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. We'll see you there.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
You know, I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The Haste Moriarty Coffee Shop in Oakland, California has banned cops for the physical and emotional safety of their baristas and their customers. Apparently, nothing froths their latte quite like an officer with a badge. The policy making national news after a sergeant with the Oakland Police Department was turned away. He was more than happy to share the news of the ban to the law enforcement community. But frankly, the owners of Haste Moriarty Coffee do not care what anyone thinks of the ban, accusing their critics of being white or having adopted the privileges whiteness affords. You know, I'd be curious to know whether the coffee shop has violated California's strict non-discrimination laws. I mean, if you have to bake the cake, don't you have to brew the coffee? On a more practical note, let's say a bad guy shows up at the coffee house. Who are they going to call for help? I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Thursday edition of Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in today on this glorious day. We're kind of celebrating around here. Maybe you are where you work too, because this is our Friday.
That's right.
A lot of us have tomorrow off. Now, we will have some people working. Your American Family Radio will be working tomorrow, the news service and others, and some great programming tomorrow.
Oh, outstanding, yes.
So stay tuned. Don't go away. Keep it with you wherever you happen to be on this weekend. Well, speaking of weekend, last weekend I had the privilege and the blessing of attending a conference. It's called Truth for a New Generation in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the man behind that conference is a guy, I think you're familiar with him, Dr. Alex McFarland. Probably heard of him. You know, he's heard here on American Family Radio Monday through Friday on as a co-host of Exploring the Word. He's also written a few books. He's also out there. He's a preacher. So, Dr. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Not too bad. Are you home in the Greensboro area today?
I am home in North Carolina, where we have lived for many, many years, here on this Micro Friday.
Micro Friday.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
You got to live Friday on Thursday.
That's right.
That's right. But we can't get too accustomed to this. We don't want to be slackers. We want to give the Lord a full day's work.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, the name of the conference was Truth for a New Generation, Alex. And it, the title kind of says it all. It's not a new truth, but it's the truth for a new generation. Talk a little bit about what's behind this conference.
Well, let me say what an honor it was, Fred, to see you there. We had some of the staff from American Family Studios, mm-hmm. and we were promoting the film, The God Who Speaks. And we had a lot of great speakers like Josh McDowell and Todd Storms from Fox News, who mm-hmm. coincidentally we just heard on the break. But it was a real honor to see you there, Fred, and people from 19 states. Mm. And a little bit of backstory. I started this, you know, really more than 25 years ago. We started using the term Truth for a New Generation. I was a youth pastor way back then. And, you know, we just wanted to tell kids about Christ and make sure that kids were equipped to stand for their faith when they went away to college. You know, the funny thing, 30 years ago, I was in college when I became a believer, and I remember going to a secular university, you know, as a 18, 19, 20-year-old, and, you know, even before I was saved, I felt like my parents' values and the morals and things that I was raised with were really being under attack and made fun of. And I remember, you know, 30 years ago, going to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, UNCG. And it was like everybody was on this diatribe against Ronald Reagan, and America is terrible, and the old Victorian morals have to be done away with. And I was thinking, wow, I mean, it's like everything that I've grown up to, you know, character, morals, truth, patriotism, the things that were drilled in me, you know, it's like they are on this crusade against all those things. Mm. And so after I became a Christian and got involved in youth and got involved in church, you know, I began to think, you know, not only do we need to win kids to the Lord, you know, we just need to tell kids about America and character and patriotism. So all that to say this, you know, what you experienced last weekend, Fred, that was the 40th conference like this that I've organized over the years in one form or another. But, you know, we're trying to talk about God and country.
Yeah.
And let me just throw this in there. Sometimes people will say, yeah, but my home is in heaven. I'm a Christian. You know, love not the world. Come on, Alex. Remember, you know, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I get that. But, hey, we got to live here in this place called America. Mm-hmm. And unless the Lord comes back, and he may, but just in case our kids and grandkids are going to be here for another 100 years, let's try to redeem the culture, and let's try to improve the country so that we can live the gospel for many, many decades to come.
Dr. Alex, talking with Alex McFarland, who put together this Truth for a New Generation, as you just mentioned, it was the 40th rendition of this. Now, the speakers that I heard, great speakers over the 2 days, but there seemed to be a fairly consistent theme that one of the problems with the new generation, they're not obviously getting the whole truth, but also the interference of what's out there taking people's, young people's minds away from the truth. There were speakers who talked about the influence of video games. They talked about, you know, our kids today are getting anti-biblical information everywhere they look, the mainstream media from the universities that they attend. But also, I got certainly the message that to correct this problem, it begins at home with the parents being aware that there's a huge problem out there with anti-Christian information and kind of indoctrination going on everywhere. It begins at home and then the church to prepare these kids for what we are seeing. I believe more and more what we are seeing, what Ephesians 6 talks about, being ready for spiritual warfare.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, one of our speakers, Tina Marie Griffin, who is a former actress and great speaker, but she talked about the way the public schools are in so many ways turning kids away, not only from values and patriotism and God, but even really sort of conditioning kids to not trust their parents, not listen to their parents, and the Common Core curriculum, which the left and the progressives so diligently want implemented. You know, the sad thing is, you know, moms and dads have a mandate anyway to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And a lot of parents, even Christian parents, and listen, I don't mean to, you know, be overly critical here, but many Christian parents are not as dialed into the stewardship of their kids' minds as they might be. And so much about our culture, the media, the secular public school system, I almost say the, you know, secular public school cartel, because the teachers' unions are so much to the left. They really are. And I know I've got my mother, my sister, my sister-in-law have all been in the public school for many years. My mom's passed on now, but she taught public school for 28 years. And the National Association of Educators is so to the left. And, oh my goodness, so many on the left, and especially in secular education, they really hate the notion that moms and dads can shape the worldview of their children. And so what we have in the church, I mean, we have a mandate, but we really have an opportunity. And obviously the number one thing is that our children come to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, we need to equip our kids to think in terms of a biblical worldview, to live it, but also to realize that we have an opportunity to make a difference. And Fred, let me say a word of encouragement. The church, there are millions of Christians. Now, many of them are not as strong as they need to be in terms of biblical literacy and cultural discernment. But my friends, we can be used by God to save souls and save this nation. And we must. I mean, heaven forbid that this, the greatest nation in the world, the greatest place to live, second greatest nation in world history, second only to Israel under King Solomon, heaven forbid that the United States of America unravel when we Christians, we have truth, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have the power of prayer, and we have a mandate from our risen Savior to make disciples everywhere. Heaven forbid that America die when we could make a difference. And that's why we're doing these conferences. And I want to say a word. We had people from 19 states. I am indebted beyond measure to the American Family Association. Tim Wildman, Jim Stanley, Buddy Smith, so many people, you know, they gave us commercial time, they gave us air time. And we're committed. We're going to be in the Nashville area in September. We're going to be in Baton Rouge. Fred, in the aftermath of last weekend's conference, we have invitations from about six more states, Ohio, great. Texas, California. You know, as long as the good Lord allows me, I want to keep bringing together all these great speakers and, you know, leaders all over America. And I'm so indebted to AFA and AFR for helping us promote and helping us touch lives. One young lady, a 13-year-old girl, who her parents came up to me after the program, and they were tearful, and she had been reading some blog site, and she decided she was an agnostic, and she had some, you know, questions. Well, we talked to her for about 45 minutes and answered some of her questions, and I looked at her, and I said, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And she did.
Amen.
And, you know, the program was over, and we saw another teenager accept Christ, and we gave her some literature. And one life at a time. I mean, we want to win the lost, equip the saved, and save our nation. That's what we're about. And I'm thankful for AFA helping us to promote these messages.
Well, one of the other great speakers at the conference last weekend was Kamel Saleem.
Now, right.
Talk a little bit about Kamel, his story, and what he's doing.
Yeah, well, I've known him 15 years. He was one of the heads of the IT department at Focus on the Family when I was working for Dr. Dobson back in the early 2000s. And he is a former Muslim, an amazing story. He had grown up in Beirut, Lebanon, and was a Muslim, came to America to really evangelize people for Islam, met Christ very amazingly a miraculous story of converting to Christ. And I had spoken in chapel at Focus on the Family, and he called me, and I wondered why, you know, somebody from the IT department wanted to meet with me. And he just told me, he said, "You have a compelling message, and what can I do to help you, you know, get your message out about Christianity, apologetics, young people?" And I said, "Well, tell me your testimony." And he shared his testimony, and I said, "Yeah, brother, you've got to speak." And he ultimately left the IT department of Focus and hit the road as an evangelist. But he was a Muslim and had served Islam valiantly, violently, and was in a car wreck, was about to die. And
after he came to the United States.
Yes, here in Oklahoma. Was pulled to safety by some men who later he learned were Christians. They took him to the hospital, paid his medical bills. His legs were broken, and so he went to live with these people, and he was very conflicted. The infidel has saved my life. You know, what's up with that? And so one night, in a moment of conflict, he stared up at the sky, and he said, "Allah, speak to me, speak to me. I've served you. Allah, speak to me, or I will curse you." And the way he tells it is very compelling, but the bottom line, he cried out, "God, who are you?" And a voice said, "I'm Jesus." Now, this is an amazing story that a lot of people in America maybe are not accustomed to, a miraculous conversion story like this. I've talked with many, many, many Muslims around the world. And let me just say, the Lord is radically reaching out to the lives of many people ensnared by the false god of Islam. And Kamal's story is amazing. He is a dear man. He loves this nation. And he travels the world. But he is a speaker we've brought in front of thousands of young people. And God uses him in a mighty way. One takeaway from his story, though, is this. Friend, you got to understand, there are so many forces that want to take this nation down. But the Islamic world, I mean, they believe it's within their grasp to evangelize America for Islam. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, I don't think we need to be obsessively fearful, but we need to be realistic. And heaven forbid that some care more about that which is false than we care about that which is true. Mm-hmm. And we've got to pray, and we've got to evangelize, and we, you know, our little contribution that we feel God's called us to make is a little thing called Truth for a New Generation. But let's do this thing. Let's lift up the Lord, and let's see the Spirit of God change lives.
Absolutely incredible conference. Okay, just go over again. You're going to be holding conferences some more later this year. Just go down that agenda again so some people listening can find out if one's going to be happening near your town. They can start to register for it now.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, the website is truthforanewgeneration.com, and that's truth, F-O-R, truthforanewgeneration.com. We do a weekly email that I write and send out, and if people text 555-888, the word revival, just, I know that doesn't sound like a phone number, but it will reach us, and nobody will ever get your info. We don't give away any info to people or marketers, but 555-888, and just text the word revival, and we'll send you all the info. But yeah, in September, we're going to be in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee area, just outside of Nashville there at Tennessee State. And then in October, we're going to be at Greenwell Springs Baptist in Baton Rouge. And in fact, I value everybody's prayers. We're working on the speakers and the agenda and a lot of things like that. And then we hope to do four in 2019. And those cities right now are pretty confirmed, but I don't want to say till we have it really set in concrete.
All right.
But
Dr. Alex McFarland,
happy Easter.
Yes, same to you. Hey, listen, thank you so much for what you do every day, Monday through Friday here in American Family Radio, and for your love for young people out there. And that's what drives these conferences. Dr. Alex McFarland, thank you so much, and God have bless a blessed you. Easter. All right, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in. Time to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We talked about off the top of the show the latest revelations on these text messages between FBI agents Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, pointing to a what looks like a great conspiracy. that even involves the White House against Donald Trump candidate and then Donald Trump president. 888-589-8840. We're back in a few minutes.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Since 1977, the American Family Association has been a voice to remind America that the blessings of our nation have come from God's gracious hand as we've trusted Him. We thank God for His grace, empowering us for 40 years of service. As we worship Him for that, our heart's cry is for our Lord to grace us to be His vessels for the next 40 years.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
I would have no clue what's going on if I don't listen to AFR, and it prompts you to get in the fight.
We're collecting stories of how God is using American Family Radio.
I've gotten so much out of AFR and strengthened my faith. I've truly turned my life around.
Take a moment to share how God is using American Family Radio in your life. Call our listener story voicemail at 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders Live inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
Did you ever sit down to watch TV with your family, only to turn it off because of bad language? TV Guardian is technology that mutes foul language in real time while you're watching television. TV Guardian was born out of the desire to watch a movie with the family without exposing children or adults to coarse or foul language existing in most of today's entertainment. The closed caption feature within all programming is used to look ahead, detect the offensive words, and mute them. Using simple level filters and subfilters, TV Guardian can be used to filter content for your family. Religious references in mainstream programming are often offensive, using God's name in cursing. So TV Guardian offers filtering for those as well. More information is available at tvguardian.com/dish. tvguardian.com/dish.
American Family Radio is grateful for the support of TV Guardian.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. For years, we've been told that the United States is the world's only superpower. Evidently, the dictators of Russia and China didn't get the memo. Increasingly, these hostile nations are fielding nuclear arsenals that grievously threaten our country and people. Of particular concern is the progress the Russians and Chinese have made in hypersonic and maneuvering weapons designed to defeat our fairly rudimentary anti-missile systems. Incredibly, the Obama-Clinton administration actually facilitated the transfer of such technologies to Russia, while China may have stolen them. U.S. Strategic Command's General John Hyten says we currently have no defense against these threats. But we could quickly deploy one thanks to a breakthrough predictive algorithm capable of making even modest anti-missile missiles effective against hypersonic and maneuvering ones, thus helping to deter and, if necessary, defeat a Russian or Chinese attack. Will we do so? This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. We were just mentioning the last segment, this conference organized by our own Dr. Alex McFarland, Truth for a New Generation. Folks, if you live anywhere near these conferences, I would encourage you to go. It is a conference that old guys like me need to go because there's such a wealth of information and encouragement there. But youth pastors, pastors of churches, young people, You really need to go. Like I say, one of the speakers that I was fascinated by was Kamal Saleem, who grew up in southern Lebanon, was recruited into an Islamic terrorist group, did at least one mission into Israel, and then was put on a mission to come to the United States and spread Islam in this country. As Alex was telling us, got in a car accident, and the people who took care of him, including the doctors, because two broken legs, I think it was, were Christians.
Yeah.
And because of their testimony, don't tell me there isn't a sovereign God who put all this together. And now Kamal is being used just incredibly by the Lord.
Mighty testimony.
Mighty testimony. By the way, at the conference, he had a security guard with him the whole time. Because you know, because of what he's preaching the truth about Islam, that his life is in danger.
Yes, it is.
So be praying for him. Let's go to our phones. Paula in Virginia. Paula, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I want to thank Alex McFarland for having Kamal speak. I want to promote his book, Blood of the Lambs. If you've not read it, it is everything that you just mentioned and then some.
Yeah.
And it's a real eye-opener as to, as he says, they are trying to destroy America from within.
Yeah, he has a tremendous testimony, and he goes back actually to Genesis in Scripture. And we know the story of Abraham. And Abraham was without a child, but he's promised a descendant. And, of course, we have Genesis 12 and the Abrahamic covenant. In their frustration, Abraham and Sarah, they don't want to wait for God to work things out. They don't want to wait for eventually which the son that would be called Isaac. There's a handmaiden, Hagar. And Sarah says to her husband Abraham, go have a child by Hagar. Hagar gives birth to Ishmael. And he tells an incredible story and follows it through Scripture that God hasn't forgotten the descendants of Ishmael. And we have heard reports, and I'll be honest with you, when I started to hear these reports of Muslims having dreams where Jesus comes to them and identifies himself, I was very skeptical. I've been very careful about those kinds of things, Rob. But I'm hearing this more and more and more. Mm. And I have to remind myself, I can't, because of my human locked in kind of, if it doesn't make sense to me, therefore it isn't.
Right.
I have to let go because we have a sovereign God. And if that's the way he has planned to speak, because you got to remember, there isn't a Baptist church in every corner in these nations. And in fact, the governments of many of these Muslim nations don't allow the gospel to be preached. So God himself, is it possible that he intervenes through dreams? Of course.
Yes.
The Bible says that your young men will have dreams. So I don't question how God is doing this, but he is doing a work. And one of the things that Kamal Saleem said, there are thousands of Muslims coming to Christ every month around the world. There are roughly 2 billion Muslims in the world. So the fact that maybe thousands are coming to Christ, I tell you, it's just absolutely incredible. We ought to praise the Lord for it. So yes, we covered the stories about Islamic terrorism, but they are precious souls that need Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we have an obligation not to ask, what's your religion? Okay, I'm not going to witness to you. No, to share the good news with them as well. So he was an incredible speaker. Paula, thank you so much for bringing that up. And yes, you need to get that book. All right. Toby in Arkansas, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hey, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, there's no doubt that Satan has his eyes on the destruction of the United States. We are the primary carriers and holders of the gospel as far as missionary work is concerned, and Satan would like to stop that. I would like to encourage your listening audience out there to remember that the seat of our authority as believers is not in Washington, D.C., we are seated with Christ in heaven, according to the words of the Apostle Paul. That's where our authority originates. And with that authority, we have the power of binding and loosing And I want to encourage the Christian community not to get discouraged with all this dark news about the deep state. It's real. The corruption is real. And we're only beginning to scratch the surface of the corruption that is going on there. I believe there is a real, very real conspiracy between the American Communist Socialist Parties, along with the members of Islam, to infiltrate and try to bring this nation down. Why is America the only civilized nation that has not declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization? Mm-hmm. Figure that out, and you'll begin to understand how deep the deep state really is. I want to say one word. I want to encourage the prayer warriors and the intercessors in the body of Christ listening to this to organize, bring more people into your circles, and begin to take that authority that we have in Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and begin to bind up the powers of darkness that are flooding this nation with all this corruption through the corrupt news media. We have the power. We have the power to bind up the lies that are flooding this nation and deceiving so many. And we can do it in Christ by the power of the Spirit. God bless you, Fred. You have a great day.
All right, Toby, we sure appreciate that. And that's absolutely true. We serve a sovereign God. We are on the winning side, folks.
Yes.
We have to get the information out there, Rob. It's important that we know what is going on so that we can fight that. Not in our strength, but in God's strength, using God's truth. We have to remember that. The battle is the Lord's. We just have the privilege of going forward and allowing Him to work through us.
And
don't be discouraged.
That's right. We got to remember that Satan uses confusion and distraction. And I think with all that's going on, what you talked about in the first segment about how everything in Washington is just this and this and this and this, it's so involved. It confuses a lot of people when they go, there's nothing to that. That's mm-hmm. just more dribble. And mm-hmm. no, it's confusion, and it's meant to be confusion.
Yeah.
And we just need to – I like Toby. Toby was dead on.
Yeah.
We need to gather the prayer warriors and get with the program.
Absolutely. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Just before we go back to our calls – Todd Starnes put out this story yesterday. University students forced to confess their white privilege. That caught my head. That headline caught my attention. Kennesaw State University in Georgia, and Georgia lawmakers, according to the Starnes story, are investigating what they call systematic bias against conservative and Christian students at Kennesaw State University. State University, underline that, because that's taxpayer funded. They are threatened, they are retaliated against, all because of their viewpoint, according to State Representative Earl Earhart. It's a scary thing on campuses today, the state lawmaker told Starnes. He went on to say that some students were forced, as a condition of their grades, to confess their white privilege in a video. Now, whenever you see this, folks, what does that mean, white privilege? Going back to biblical terminology here, God says we are to work. And the way that you gain privilege, the way that you move forward, is according to God's plan, is that you work. And work is open to everyone, regardless of your skin color. But you've got to have that attitude. In fact, the Bible goes on to say, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't deserve to eat.
Yeah.
All right? So work is not a bad thing. Work is a good thing, and work moves you forward using your God-given talents. But we're hearing this kind of thing more and more. And now this professor at Kennesaw State University, as a condition of their grades, they had to confess their white privilege in a video. That's horrifying. No kidding. You know, the Marietta Daily Journal reports that college Republicans were unable to bring a GOP gubernatorial candidate to campus because the university charged outrageously security fees. We've seen that in other jurisdictions. The story from Todd Starnes goes on to quote Victoria Thompson, who's a student there. She said, many of my professors make it a regular habit to push their own political agendas in the classroom, and I fear that if I express my own opinion in opposition, I will receive a poor grade. In one of my classes, my professor regularly talks about how stupid Republicans are, and he makes fun of us on a regular basis.
Wow.
You know, got to be aware of this. Conservatives, conservative Christians, university campuses across this country, they are under attack on a regular basis, folks. We got to pray for our kids. You know, we're sending these kids out. This is why it's so important that parents and then our churches are preparing these kids for this kind of opposition. They've got to be aware. And if they're not grounded in the truth, when we send them off to university, they are going to be swayed. All this attack that comes from fellow students, from professors, you know, the authority figure standing up at the front of the class. That's why so many of these kids, church kids, they end up leaving the church because they can't handle this. We have got to be aware of this. We've got to be preparing young warriors for Christ.
Is this term and situation with white privilege, is that not just racism?
Oh, it's absolutely. But you can get away with it.
It's determining something by your skin color.
Yeah, because of political correctness, they're getting away with this kind of thing. So pray for these kids. Pray for these kids at Kennesaw State University. But like I say, it's across the system.
Yeah, it's every school system, and I think and the college system is just overrun.
Well, we can be glad that lawmakers in Georgia are looking into this.
Yes.
There's still freedom of religion in this country. And freedom of religion, certainly on state-sponsored, taxpayer-funded universities, there ought to be outrage beyond the lawmakers. Parents, where are you? Pastors in the area who have kids going there, where are you on this? Speak up. Speak out. You still have that right in this country. Let's go to Tennessee and Dalton. Dalton, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say that this last election, I don't feel like that we saw a true peaceful transition of power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't taken to the streets, but they've done everything else.
Yep.
To try to short circuit the will of the American people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no question, and they're getting away with it, Dalton. We appreciate your comment. They're getting away with it because, and I mentioned this before, probably every time I go on the air, you have to understand, folks. The mainstream media is totally, totally in bed with the Democrats. I've said it before, I'll keep saying it again. Pew Research, going back years, found out that 90% of the mainstream reporters vote Democrat. They're all in. The level of professionalism that I used to see in the secular media is gone. It's gone. In fact, they are told by their news directors, their senior producers, go ahead, put your biases in the story. Don't even try to be fair anymore. So when you're listening to the CNNs of this world and the CBSs and all of those, they are operatives for the Democratic Party.
It's not journalism anymore. It's all opinionated.
It's propaganda.
Editorial. Yeah,
propaganda. It is propaganda, yeah. And that's what it is.
It should outrage all of us.
That's right. But you got to do some work to investigate what the truth is and stop just accepting what these people are feeding you, because it is propaganda. It's not truth. Somebody once called it fake news. Hey, listen, we got to get out of here. Make room for Dan Celia here in American Family Radio Talk. So good to be with you. And our prayer is, as we said off the top of the show, that you have a wonderful and blessed and thank-filled Easter weekend. We'll see you again soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.